The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Well, afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the City Bible Forum. We're doing something a little bit different today. In the media and generally, there's been quite a bit of interest in the recent ethics trials that have been held by the New South Wales Department of Education. And we have two protagonists here today who are going to discuss this issue. Now, our aim in our meeting is to hold us within a lunch hour. And of course, it's a big topic, and I'm sure we won't cover the topic to everyone's satisfaction. We don't have time for a full debate. So what we're going to do is we're going to have David Old, who is an SRE teacher, or at least on Wednesdays during the week, and on his weekend job, and full-time job, it's not just weekends, is it? Is as an Anglican minister at St. Augustine's in Neutral Bay. David will be taking the standpoint of the scripture side of the debate, and our good friend David Singer will be speaking on behalf of the ethics side of the question, the ethics trial. David is quite well known within the skeptics and atheist subculture here in Sydney and around the world. He's quite a famous blogger. So the way this will work is that, because David... Sorry about the Dave and David. Hopefully it doesn't get too confusing. But David Old, we figured that because he has God on his side, we allowed David Singer the option to decide whether to go first or second, and he's elected to go second after David. David will speak for about 5 minutes to explain from perhaps a Christian point of view what this issue is about and some of the principles and practical considerations that are involved. Dave Singer will then speak for another 5 minutes from the opposing point of view, supporting the ethics trial and the principles that underpin it. After that, I'll ask the guys a bunch of questions. So we'll try and continue the discussion between these two fellows, probably for another 15 minutes. At the end of that, we'll open the floor to the questions. So if you've got a question, a burning issue, you can ask that of the guys, and I'll direct that to the appropriate person. We do ask that you form your input in the terms of a question so that these guys can interact with it. So I'll hand over now to David Old.
Hey, guys. Hello. It's good to be with you again. I'm excited to be talking about this. I'm excited to be here with Dave. He and I have sparred in pubs before now, and we even spent a scripture lesson together. That was good. Friends, I have, I reckon, a fairly unenviable task. I have to defend to you what is, if you believe the very clever campaign of the pro-ethics course supporters, I have to defend an outmoded, anti-educational, and discriminatory institution, the teaching of scripture, that is special religious education, SRE, in New South Wales schools. More than that, I have to somehow persuade you that the bright, fresh, and apparently highly demanded ethics course is in actual fact a bad idea. How am I going to do that? Well, by knocking down some of those assumptions. Some now in my little talk, some in the discussion, that you may or may not have questioned, because the reality of this whole debate is actually far more interesting than the sound bites that make it through to the media, and certainly far more complicated than the frankly simplistic reasoning that I've been reading on the internet, for example, over the past 9 months. Or so. From pretty much every direction that you look at this thing, I'd argue, you're left to conclude that there are severe problems with the whole crusade, if you'll pardon the pun, mate, to have an ethics class provided during SRE time in our public schools. First, the implementation of the trial itself has been really troubling. The trial was pushed ahead at great speed without any real consultation. A state Labor government, who I don't think anyone here would even dare to lay a bet on winning next year, railroaded the trial. It was initially proposed for term 3, but got pushed ahead to term 2 so that any implementation could be squeezed into the very few remaining legislative days that are left this session. This means that what was presented to schools was the product of pretty much zero serious public debate or inquiry. There was no opportunity, for example, to inspect the syllabus, which we were originally told was copyrighted material. In fact, if you go to the St. James Ethics Centre website, as I did again last night, you just still can't find the information. It just doesn't exist. There were no stated terms of reference in advance and no publicly declared evaluation process ahead of time. Now, the original complaint levied against SRE was that those who did not attend had nothing to do. I'll come back to that claim in a moment, but for now you should be aware that the ethics trial was meant to be only offered to the parents of those children who did not currently attend SRE. Instead, you may or may not know this, invitation letters were sent to all children in the relevant years of the pilot schools. Although that letter was subsequently retracted, the damage was done. Some SRE providers reported a 60% drop-off in their classes. It was, even the most generous person has to admit, a mischievous act. But then the gun, it's beginning to look like, had already been loaded. Even the evaluation process itself, I want to put to you, that's going on now, is a bit of a farce. One academic, Dr. Sue Knight, is doing it all. So the whole thing is going to be weighed up by a single academic who is already on record, if you read her material, as being in favour of this sort of thing. I almost cynically want to wonder when ICAC are going to get a phone call. Almost. Not quite. But setting apart the pretty atrocious process, there's actually fundamental issues with the principle of the thing. First, this is legislatively protected SRE time. Religious education in New South Wales is split between special religious education, SRE, and general religious education. The material being provided by the St. James Ethics Centre, to the extent that anyone can examine it, appears far better suited to the GRE, the general religious education portion of the syllabus. It just simply doesn't fit into the SRE framework. If, however, it's intended to be an alternative to SRE, which is the language the St. James Ethics Centre calls it, then as it currently stands, it's actually illegal. The legislation is quite clear. There should be no competing education provided. Thanks, Munger. Plus, if this course is so good, then surely it should be part of a general religious education syllabus. And I, for one, would be in favour of that to some degree. But there's a reason, you see, it has been pitched at the SRE time slot. I hope we'll get a chance to talk about that later. Nor is the argument that kids are sitting idle really a plausible one. The legislation permits, for example, reading to occur as just one of the things it permits. Now, my daughter, I have a daughter, she is constantly coming home with her latest Premier's Reading Challenge book. Last time I looked, most parents and educators are convinced that kids don't get the chance to do enough reading. An extra half an hour of dear time, parents will know, drop everything and read, is a good thing if parents don't want their kids in SRE. Now, if children are not spending their time productively in SRE time, if they're non-SRE kids, then that is the fault of the school, not an issue with SRE itself. But actually, there is one more reason, I think the biggest reason you want to be concerned about this whole thing. It's because the kids are not actually being taught ethics. The label is misleading, and I think several parents have been really confused and let down by what's going on. They're actually being taught what might generously be called philosophical inquiry. But if you've spent any time watching the various publicity videos that are being produced to support the trial, I hope some of you have seen them either on Newsnight or on YouTube, you realize it should really be called, "What Do You Think?" Simple as that. I think that's the best label for the course. What do you think? Now, don't get me wrong. I am all for kids thinking for themselves. I urge my SRE class to do it all the time. David can testify to that. He's been in my class. But when it comes to ethics and morals, the principle of moral autonomy, which is being promoted here, is a disaster. I've spent almost 7 years with my oldest daughter trying to raise her the right way, and I'm still battling against her, well, let's face it, our basic selfishness. Those of you with children will know what I'm talking about. Kids are naturally selfish. But then, of course, adults are naturally selfish too. We just hide it better. But the end result is that this ethics course is nothing of the sort. It's the underlying philosophy is perhaps simply an exercise in, we might perhaps call it an exercise in justifying and reinforcing our own prejudices. The kids are basically asked, "What do you think?" That's a big flaw, right? Anybody can behave themselves for half an hour in a classroom in a model situation, right? But out in the real world, our culture is becoming a disaster because of that. And the famous Nobel Prize winning author wrote a book all about kids deciding for themselves how things should be. It's called Lord of the Flies, and Piggy didn't do very well out of it. I'm suggesting to you that's part of the philosophy that lies behind this ethics trial and where that's going. There's a number of reasons just to bat out there. You might want to be thinking again about how good it is. Dave, I'm sure, is about to disagree.
Friends, I would echo at least the first couple of sentences of what David just told us. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me. My name's Dave the Happy Singer, and I'm an atheist. And I'm delighted to be here with David, whom I met here at CBF, and we stayed in touch. As he said, we've sparred a few times, and we've been out, and I've been to his pub church and to his scripture class. And I'm happy to consider him a friend. So it's great that we're doing this. I think we irritate each other just enough to have a valuable discussion, but not so much that we'd actually fall out over this. But he's right that we do approach this from totally opposing viewpoints. Many of you know me, if not personally, then at least as the dreadfully rude atheist who has the temerity to ask difficult questions at CBF. And my opinions of Christianity and of religious indoctrination in schools are no secret. However, I don't think the current debate, the current political debate, is really related to that at all. I'm going to propose that I don't address the issue of SRE in schools. It's not on the table to take away SRE. That would require a legislative change. It's not realistically going to happen. I'm not advocating for it. The St. James Ethics Center isn't advocating for it. There are plenty of people who have a philosophical disagreement with SRE in schools, and quite rightly so, and those people are going to tend to be in favor of the New South Wales ethics trial. But that's not the same as to say that the New South Wales ethics trial is a backdoor for abolishing SRE. It's simply not. That's not on the table. So let's not... I'm not going to waste too much more time talking about SRE. It's there and it's there to stay. Regarding the legislation, SRE is protected in legislation. So is the right to opt out of legislation. This business of not being allowed to do anything useful at the same time isn't in legislation. It's a policy directive. So that can be more easily changed. We don't need legislation to bring in the ethics trial. All we're asking is that the education department just change their policy on what the kids are allowed to do. The proposal is not, as David said, for an alternative to Scripture, nor is that what the St. James Ethics Center proposes. The proposal is a complement to Scripture. Okay? It's to be offered as a course for those who opt out of Scripture. True. But the material is also available for every faith-based group, should they wish to incorporate it in their lessons. Okay? If David appreciates the course material, if David wants to bring in ethics in his scripture class, he's welcome to do so. He's welcome to do so with the materials of the St. James Ethics Center. It is a complement to Scripture, not an alternative. The issue of whether it was offered to all parents and all children, rather than those children who'd opted out, I'm not in favor of discriminating against the children of Christian parents. I think it would be deeply wrong to say your child may only participate in term two if they'd opted out of SRE in term one. I think that would be fundamentally undemocratic. I think it would be discriminatory. It would just be simply wrong. Whenever any new faith community offers an SRE program, it's announced to all parents. When the Baha'i faith starts a new program, the Christian parents will get a letter informing them that this is starting. I don't see why that should be any different with the ethics trial. The issue of the ethics trial is one of social justice. Children who, for whatever reason, opt out of Scripture are not currently allowed to do anything useful. It would be a disadvantage, a true disadvantage, to the Christian kids if the kids who opt out are doing examinable material with a teacher, or they're getting, you know, extra lessons. So it is correct that they shouldn't be doing that. So whatever they are offered to do should be outside the general curriculum. However, it is unjust for those who choose to go to special religious education to have the opportunity to explore ethics, for them to have this values-based extension to their curriculum, and to deny that to the kids who opt out of the religious special religious education. I don't think it's unreasonable. In fact, I think it's a social imperative. It's ethically correct for us to also offer non-religious kids that ethical extension. Ethics is kind of touched by all parts of the curriculum. There is a kind of a general values part of it. I mean, English literature, history, all these kind of things, civics, it's all kind of full of ethical questions. But it's unjust to say, okay, if you are a Christian or Baha'i or Hindu, you can have this extension to your ethical development. But if you opt out of specifically religious instruction, you're not allowed to have any of this. And the policy explicitly says they're not allowed to have anything that deals with values or civics or ethics or anything like that. That's what we want to get changed. Now, the class itself, David said the kids weren't being taught ethics. I think we probably might have to at least clarify what we mean by that word. Ethics is the process of thinking about the question of what is right and wrong. What's good or bad? How ought one behave? How can we lead a good life? And in that sense, that is exactly what the kids are being taught. They're being taught to think, okay? Ethics is a process of inquiry, not of instruction. The kids being told how to think, not what to think, and encouraged to do that among themselves. David's quite right that it starts off with, what do you think? Let me give you an example. Contrary to what David said, there are very good samples of what's on the syllabus, on the St. James, well, it's on the St. James Ethics Center website. I've got one here, and everyone's welcome to have a look at the sample lesson plan that I just printed out from the St. James's Ethics Center website, upon which David couldn't find this. So this is the sample lesson based on fairness. And the kids are given a hypothetical scenario. For example, Lola writes wonderful stories without even trying. She won the school writing prize. Is that fair? And the kids sit in a circle with the speaker's ball, ironically rather like the conch from Lord of the Flies, without which one is not permitted to speak. But I think that's where the similarity ends. And I will come to that. But the kids then asked, okay, so if Lola can write these stories effortlessly, is it fair that she gets the writing prize? What about kids who put tons and tons of effort into their writing and never get rewarded for that effort? And the children are encouraged, first of all, yes, to bring out their gut reactions, but then also encouraged to provide reasons for thinking that. And then offered the opportunity to think about those reasons and discuss among themselves what is a good kind of a reason, what is a bad kind of a reason, and they're encouraged then to reach conclusions that might not necessarily be a consensus. And that is what we as human beings do. We need a citizenry that's had some practice at doing this. We need to engage in these debates. I'm delighted that it's happening at City Bible Forum, and I'd like to see it happen more among my Christian friends. And that really comes to the Lord of the Flies argument. You know, a citizenry that can think critically, that can discuss issues, that can negotiate, that can think about reasons and think critically about reasons for advocating a particular kind of behavior. It's not dogmatic. I think there's a little bit of projection there. David says that he tries to bring his daughter up the good way. I dare say my daughter, when she's conceived, will be brought up somewhat differently. But we have got to share this planet. And it's going to be good for society. It's going to be good for these children who are not just doing supervised coloring in now. I don't quite understand how anybody could possibly argue that teaching kids to think about what is right and wrong is a bad thing. There's more that David said that I've not come back on, but I'm going to let him have a go because I've spoke for long enough. Thank you.
We're just going to continue the discussion. I'll moderate that.
Yeah.
But Dave's got an immediate question, so why don't you have... Yeah.
Thanks, Dave, mate. That's really helpful. I don't know if you noticed, but guys here will have noticed, I was nodding away at the end. I'm really, really convinced we need to teach our kids to think. You know me by now. I'm a real opposer of just blind ideology. You may differ on what that is, but in principle, I've argued that I am. And I'm really convinced, we need to teach our kids early on to be positive contributors to our society. So I don't think any of us who are opposed to this are opposed to that in principle. We're opposed to the way that this has been done, which leads me then, I want to ask some questions, because questions are better, aren't they, than statements. I want to ask you two questions, which are the same, but from a different angle. One is, how does this complement scripture when it's on at the same time? A kid that's doing an SRE course cannot also do this course. Therefore, it cannot for the individual child complement what they're doing in scripture. It has to be one or the other. So my question to you is, I hear the word complement. How can it complement? And then related to that, do you not agree with me that this sort of material in general, without talking about the specifics of the particular course, which we can talk about if you want, surely is better suited to the GRE element of the curriculum, in that it is all the things that you say it is. It's about teaching us all together. Whereas SRE is a peculiar anomaly, if you like, in New South Wales, where religious institutions and organizations, people like myself, get to go in and at the election of the parents teach these things. So one, how can it complement? Isn't it better suited to GRE?
Well, thanks for those questions, and they're good questions. As a complement to SRE, the course material that's been prepared for this, you're right that it's copyrighted and we can't download it now, but once the course has been finished and approved, it will be open to all SRE teachers of all faith groups. You'll be able to do it. It will be able to be part of your course. You can opt. You don't have to, but you can opt to use this as a complement. It's true that children can't be in two classrooms at once. You know, I'm certainly not claiming that that is the case. But to say that this is an alternative in the sense that Christian children who choose to continue with their scripture-based SRE option will have no access to this rather good ethics course is, I think, slightly wrong, and I think it's wrong to argue that that Christian kids don't have the chance to benefit from this, even if they go to SRE, to Scripture. They can do. And of course, the option for Christian parents, and I shouldn't say Christian children, I mean the children of Christian parents. But I do want to correct myself, it might be a minor thing, but the terminology matters. The children of Christian parents do also have the option, of course, to not go to scripture at school and to take the ethics course and to do their specific Christian, let's call it education for the sake of argument, outside school. They can go to Sunday school. They can, their parents can choose to indoctrinate them as the parents choose outside school. So, I mean, it's not like anybody's saying, you know, if you've been baptized, you're not allowed to come to ethics classes. Really, we've got a danger of the Nirvana fallacy here as well, which is saying, okay, if a solution's not perfect, we can't do this, okay? You're right, it's an anomaly. We are in a weird situation where we've got a traditional state-mandated, legislated SRE situation and the right to opt out, but at the moment the kids can't do anything useful, okay? It's a dodgy situation. It's a debate for another day, but I would advocate getting rid of special religious education, leaving that up to the parents and churches, bringing in general religious education and ethics for all kids. I would advocate for that, but it's a debate for a different day. What we've got on the table now is a compromise solution to correct a specific social injustice, namely the kids who opt out, which is 80% of kids at Rozelle Public School. You know, we're not talking about a handful of kids. We're talking about four times as many children as go to a religious scripture class, sitting and colouring because they're not allowed to do something alternative.
You said twice now they can't do anything useful. Sorry, yeah. I was just going to say, you're happy with this? You said twice now they're not doing anything useful. Now, I am appalled, frankly, I am appalled that that kids are sitting, colouring in during scripture time. I just think that's an appalling use of that time. But what if they were doing something useful, which actually the law encourages by actually naming it, such as a reading? I know reading's really useful. I'm delighted every time my child picks up a book. What if that time was being spent productively? Would that change? Because they could all be picking up a book from their reading boxes and going and reading a book and spending that time productively. Would that then change some of the weight of what you said?
I don't think it would, because I think it would leave us still with the ethical problem that Christian children or children who opt into a religious scripture class, you know, they're not all Christians, they have got this extension to their ethical development. They've got the opportunity to do this with the trained volunteers. They've got this enriching thing, which is then withheld from those who opt out of the religious class. Well, it is both. You know, nobody is forcing people to opt out, and indeed the biggest terror of the Anglican Church, and it is, I should point out, that the Uniting Church and the Islamic Council and the head of the Council of Catholic Bishops are all in favor of this trial. It is largely Peter Jensen who is upset about it. Don't get the impression that that there's unanimity among the faith-based community, and for crying out loud, please make your own mind up as well. Don't just listen to me or Peter Jensen. Because there are plenty of religious people who support this and think this is a good idea. It is not unreasonable that people are allowed to opt out of religious indoctrination of their children. I think it's imperative that be allowed. And as a victim of compulsory churching as a child, I do have an emotional attachment to this as well. I think targeting children for indoctrination is wrong. However, that's not what I'm here to talk about. It's right that we have the opt-out, but it's also, I think, wrong and unethical and unjust that this further ethical aspect of education, which is we've not argued about yet whether scripture includes ethics or not, but there are Christians who are claiming that it's not. I think it's unfortunate. And the proposed trial, I think, is a good solution that is not detrimental to anyone and will be of benefit to specifically the opting, those who opt out, and also to society. Where the detriment will happen is for the churches, because they're going to have, a smaller client base in the schools there. They're going to have fewer young minds to speak to, and possibly fewer paying customers in future. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, your wages are paid by the contributions of your parishioners, ultimately, aren't they? And to that, you know, I'm very sorry, but tough.
So I noticed a bit of a disconnect between you two guys on the issue of philosophy versus ethics and the content, as to whether that was publicly available or not. I was just wondering if you guys could discuss that aspect, the content and philosophy versus ethics, a bit further. I don't mind who goes first.
let me describe my experience. When you go to the St. James Ethics Center website, my experience, and I've been on the web a bit, you know that, my experience is pretty hard to find some detailed content. I find myself looping around a couple of pages. That's probably just bad web design. I don't attribute that to any malice there. But what you do find, and I know there are some limited bits, I'm finding it hard to work out what the kids are actually being taught. So I wonder if there's a disconnect between the expectation of the parents, for a start, and what's being taught. And I wonder if anyone's sitting down and questioning the philosophical assumptions that lie behind the framework within which this course is being taught. So we're being told it's a good thing for kids to think. And again, I'm in agreement with that. And yet philosophy is not done in a vacuum. There are assumptions that lie behind every single philosophical position and build up from there. And I'm just not sure I think what troubles me most of all is it's not clear, At least it hasn't been publicly well communicated what's lying behind it. And certainly there's been no public debate on the philosophy that's underlying this course. And certainly parents haven't really been informed of the underlying philosophy. In part, that's a criticism of our culture, which just doesn't care. But that's a terrible thing for a culture, when it just doesn't care and doesn't think. That's just a worry for me. It's a worry of ignorance. We just don't know. But the people who wrote it clearly have an agenda, and I don't mean that in a pejorative term. Everyone has an agenda. But we just haven't been communicated that. And so I'm just wondering, I think that's an issue. There's a, I don't want to say ethical issue, because it's a cheap, we can spot ethical jokes all day. But I think there's an issue there, isn't there, that kind of needs to be addressed.
If you're telling me that there is less information than you would have liked out on there on the website, then of course there's something to be addressed there. You know, everybody involved would want awareness to be promoted as much as possible. The situation with the course materials right now, just to clarify, is that they're currently under copyright by the author, who, by the way, is Professor Philip Cam from the University of New South Wales, who is an expert in teaching ethics to children. So, you know, of all the individual human beings we could have picked to write this, he's one of the better ones. It is his field of expertise. Two lesson plans, are available on the website to download as a sample. The St. James Ethics Centre said it's not appropriate for them to be releasing the whole of the course materials, firstly because Philip Cam holds the copyright, and secondly because this is still in a trial. It's got to be evaluated, it's got to be passed, the courses have got to be, you know, there will be revisions and improvements to make. The commitment, though, is that should this go forward, that it would be then open materials for everyone, including SRE teachers, to use, and they will be publicly available for the common good. So that, if it is a problem now, of course that's a bad thing that needs addressing, but it's not something you shouldn't worry about unduly for the future. If my email address is smile@davethehappysinger.com. If anybody is deeply concerned that they don't have enough information of what has happened in the ethics trial, what the course content is, drop me an email and I will send you the very best links I can find, I promise. And in terms of the assumptions, I should also point out that a wise man once said, you know, don't worry about the speck in my eye until you've taken the plank out of your own. And it is true that scripture classes have no oversight, no particular curriculum. They're not controlled by the state. I have, among my atheist friends, former very fundamentalist preachers who used to teach SRE, who've told me of the really shocking things, heartbreaking things, that they used to teach when they were Christians and were allowed to teach and were never stopped from teaching. It boils down to lies. Now, I'm not saying you're a fundamentalist and I'm not saying you're a liar, but there are Christians out there who have taught really shockingly inaccurate things under the auspices of SRE with absolutely no oversight. Now, it is a logical fallacy to say that that then rescues the ethics trial from such an accusation. I do want to see better transparency. I don't want to see assumptions questioned, of course. But let's not forget that SRE is largely a cowboy industry that relies on the good conscience of the individual providers rather than on any kind of oversight or regulation. You know, I'm not saying for a second your scripture classes are bad. I've only seen one of them, and it was about me, so it was awesome. But there is plenty of scope for bad scripture teachers to be out there as well. So let's, you know, apply the same thing to both.
Yeah, look, I need to agree with you there. That is certainly true in the past. And I think it's true now that there are a number of people teaching scripture who really shouldn't be doing it. And it's really interesting that in the last 3 or 4 years, I can't speak for other denominations, I know in the last 3 or 4 years, the Anglican Church here in Sydney has worked really hard at training scripture teachers and all that kind of thing. But look, I'm in agreement with you there. There's been some poor poor stuff going on. I don't know the history of the implementation in terms of the quality of the teaching on the ethics trial. Let's just call it that. I'm just a bit worried about the constant pejorative language, though, of indoctrination and so forth. I just wonder why that's fair, to use of Scripture, but again, not fair to use of this system of thinking, which is ultimately what it is, that's being taught. Or assumed and therefore being taught in these classes. And I wonder whether I really got an answer to that question, but I can see Ken hovering, and so I'm going to let him have another go, mate.
So, of course, the only reason I'm hovering, so to speak, or indoctrinating, is that I really just want to open the questions to the floor, and I see that you guys are having a good discussion, but I think we might have people who would go away disappointed if they didn't have a chance to ask a question.
My name's Teresa Russell. I organised the trial for St James Ethics Centre at the 10 primary schools in New South Wales. The highly sought trial. It was highly sought. I'm a mother of two children who opt out of Scripture. It was highly sought by people whose children do opt out of Scripture. I'd just like to make a few points. St James Ethics Centre, and I wasn't involved with it at the time, but St James Ethics Centre chose the term complement to Scripture because they undertook an 18-month pre-submission discussion with all interested parties who would talk to them, and the Sydney Anglicans wouldn't talk to them, but anyone who would did say that they taught ethics in their religion classes. And that's why the term complement was used rather than an alternative or whatever. What I like to say, though, because various people have a problem with the word complement spelt with an E, I like to say it's an option for children who don't go to Scripture classes, and leave it at that. General religious education is not taught in primary schools. General religious education is taught in high schools, and general religious education is sometimes taught as a part of, say, for example, if children in primary school are studying Japan, they'd look at the Shinto religion. So they'd look at a religion in the context of the history. It is not a subject that's covered in any of the primary schools. HSIE does not cover, let's look at Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, anything like that. That's a high school thing. Just in regard to the managing of the ethics, in the running of the ethics trial, it was done in consultation and, might I say, very close and very careful consultation with the Department of Education and Training. It was the Department of Education and Training who insisted that we inform, not fish for, but inform all the parents of year 5 and 6 students in the 10 pilot schools that this option was going to be made available in term 2. What a lot of schools do is that in the beginning of the year they ask what school, what you want your kids to do this year in terms of religion, and parents have a bucket of religions that are available. Now, they're in some schools, for example, in Hurstville Public School, where there's a major Asian population, and it was one of the school that participated in the pilot, 60% of their kids opt out of religious education. Now, they don't have Buddhist scripture because the Buddhists can't get scripture teachers down there. So that's why there's a big opt-out rate down there. So there's a big need for that. I'll stop now. I just want to say that for those of you who sit and listen to people who say that reading is a really productive thing, I'd like people to somehow forget about the history and think about me going into a school that your kids go to, dividing it down religious lines, telling the Anglicans, the Catholics and the Jews to go into the hall and read while the rest of us are going to do something that's meaningful to the parents of the children who are going into the classrooms. And when the Anglicans, Catholics and Jews tell you that reading isn't that they're being discriminated against based on their religion, then they should come and look at my kid in non-scripture who's been discriminated again by this policy. Thank you.
I'm a bit different because I'm an Anglican minister and a committed Christian. And so probably the amounts, the question is about, sorry for the tape, the question is about whether I deal with the fact that, for example, a Buddhist philosophy, because that's what Buddhism really is different to Christian philosophy. I'm a bit different. I'm a committed Christian man. I actually want to say, unlike most of the parents who send children to the scripture classes I teach, And so I am indoctrinating and proselytizing my children, he said with raised eyebrows for the tape, pretty much every breath. It's just a way of life at home. So that's fundamentally how I am. It's fundamentally how I am dealing with it, because I'm a committed Christian. I'm committed to the Lordship of Jesus. So in a similar way that the person, just want to make sure it's on the tape, similar way you're arguing that we treat the ethics course in the same way, simply just opt out, deal with it being wrong. I think my argument is more fundamental than that. It's that the underlying philosophy simply hasn't been communicated, and there's this wave of novelty about this whole thing. Well, like, I've seen what's happened in the local primary schools that I'm involved in. There's this wave of excitement about the novelty of it. And yet, if you actually ask any of the parents who've been contacted about it, what they understand is going on in it, and what philosophical presuppositions it has, as everybody does. And yeah, it's been written. You're right. It's been written by an academic, but he's got a point of view. He has a bias, as everyone does, and that's not in itself a bad thing. But Ken's saying we've run out of time. I might just have a crack at answering that. I think the lady deserves a question, an answer, if that's all right. Is that all right with you?
One minute.
I'll try and keep it down to 30 seconds. Yeah, in general, it's their right. I'm not convinced it's appropriate for SRE time. Look, I don't want to pretend that I'm not trying to defend my Christian position and therefore religious positions in general on SRE time. I don't think we're right to pretend otherwise. I'm concerned for that time. I'm concerned for the options. And let me embrace your language there. I have fundamental-ish concerns about this course, which actually is then a critique I actually want to then put to SRE as well. Okay, it's a critique I want to put on SRE as well. I like to think I present great SRE lessons. They're well thought through. I've got one of the manuals in my bag for you to look at. I like to think I'm a magnificent proponent, as no doubt you would have been of the ethics if you taught it. But I'm just fundamentally worried that we've not, as a society, setting aside those parents who choose just not to think, but we just not, as a society here in New South Wales, thought about this. There's just been no proper public debate. Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, folks. We really have run out of time. We do try and keep the meeting to lunchtime so people can get back to work. I do apologise for interrupting at this point, because I appreciate the discussion is going quite well. Please thank Dave and Dave. And thank you also to Teresa and the other people who've contributed. I'm sure Dave and David would be happy to continue the discussion for a while later if you don't have to get back to work, that is. Okay.
I just want to say that my views are my own and they don't represent atheists in general or any other atheist or St. James Ethics Centre, with whom I am entirely unaffiliated, or Sydney atheists with whom I'm slightly closely affiliated. I speak for myself and no one else. If you think I'm a douche, it's me and not ethics. And that's really important, please. And if you think there's anything I've not answered, do come and grab me, because I don't want to run away from questions. I love you. Bye.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.